In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
King, God.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Christmas is from the book of 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this day this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. Oh, how I love your law.
It is my meditation all the day.
Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the aged. I hold back my feet from every evil way.
In order to keep your word,
I do not turn aside from your just decrees.
For you have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste.
Sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Through your precepts I get understanding.
Therefore I hate every false way.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies.
Glory is ever with me.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the 1st chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Also for us,
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is from the Gospel reading. After 3 days, Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents questioned him about being there, Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" This is our text. I'd like to start with a little bit from our second reading from the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians, as well as in other places, St. Paul says that Christians, that we are sons of God. In Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5, "In love, God the Father predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ." It's important to note that this language of sonship applies to women as well as to men, and to adults as well as to children. As adopted sons, that's what St. Paul says we are, as adopted sons, we have all received the Holy Spirit. As sons, we all have God's blessings and inherit God's kingdom. The rights, the privileges, the honors that belong to a son are given to all who are baptized into Christ. We are all heirs through faith in him. The question in front of us today, then, is what does it mean for us to be sons of God? What does it look like to live in his sonship now? What does it mean for the future? We learn from Jesus. As sons of God by adoption, we belong with Jesus, the Son of God, as he does his Father's work in his Father's house. Jesus is the true, natural Son of God. Unlike us, who are sons of God by adoption, Jesus is the Son of God by nature. We see this in the Gospel reading again today. What happens to that 12-year-old Jesus in the temple reveals who he really is. Yes, he is Mary's son, and that's why she's so concerned about him. That's why she spends those days searching for him. But that's not all he is. Remember what the angel had told Mary. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So Mary's son is also God's son, completely human and at the same time fully and perfectly divine. And yet Mary and Joseph are still surprised. You might wonder what it would have been like to be the earthly parents of God's son. And you would imagine that there were a number of times when things surprised them or maybe disturbed them. Like when they lose the boy Jesus and find him on the third day in the temple. "Son," Mary admonishes him, "son, why have you treated us so? Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." The holy child had been entrusted to their care. He ate at their table. He slept under their roof. He learned from them how to walk and to talk. And yet he was also God's son. When they went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover, he went with them. And then when he was 12, he stayed behind in Jerusalem, without their knowledge, without their consent. He didn't ask. It's almost like Jesus is being constantly drawn toward Jerusalem, as if his life somehow is closely connected with that city. "Why were you looking for me?" Jesus replies. "Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house, doing my Father's business?" That might sound like a rude reply, and it would be if it came from anyone else. I wouldn't want my 12-year-old speaking to me like that. But this is Jesus, the Son of God. He means no disrespect to Mary or to Joseph, but they don't know the will of the Father or the work of the Father like Jesus does. Jesus is being faithful to who he is. He is the Son of the Father, and he came to do the Father's will. And he will be obedient to his heavenly Father, even above his mother Mary or Joseph or other earthly authority. He must obey God rather than mother, father, or anyone else. And so Jesus follows the will of the heavenly Father. And as the Son of the heavenly Father, the favor of God was upon him. This means that the Father was well pleased with Jesus, with everything that Jesus is and with everything that Jesus does. We also have God's approval, his love, but we have his approval and his love by grace through faith. Jesus has it by nature. Because he was without sin, even at the age of 12, he was well pleasing to the Father in heaven. And just what had Jesus come to do? Jesus was concerned with the Father's business. He took an interest in what goes on in the Father's house, in the teaching, in the prayers, in the offerings. As Jesus says at the end of his earthly ministry, "Day after day I sat in the temple teaching." He teaches the teachers. He instructs the wise, even from youth. He speaks with authority. He knows God's word better than anyone else because he is the word made flesh. He embodies that word, not only externally, but on the inside as well, so that those who see him and hear him are amazed and astonished. It's striking to me that when Jesus goes into the temple, he's meeting with these adult teachers of the law, and yet the teachers of the law are the ones sitting at his feet. The teachers of the law are learning from the one who brings good news. The law serves the gospel. Yes, the law restrains sin, and yes, the law guides us in the path of life, but most of all, the law points out our sin, and so it leaves us in need of the Savior. The law leads us to sit at the feet of Jesus because he comes to do what the law could never do on its own in our lives. He comes to make atonement for sin and to pay for your sins and for mine. Now, this isn't the first time that Jesus has been in the temple. His first visit was when he was 40 days old and his mother and father brought him to be presented and redeemed. And it won't be his last time in the temple either. Jesus returns years later with a whip of cords to clean out that house. It was meant to be a place of forgiveness, of life and salvation, and yet it had been turned into a house of trade. And then he comes again later during Holy Week, and he watches the people give their offerings. He notes how the widow's little last mite is worth more than the piles given by the wealthy. He teaches outside the temple. He predicts that before long, the stones of that temple will be torn down. And they were. And he teaches. What does he teach? Destroy this temple, by which he meant his own body, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. This is the Father's business. Not maintaining a house on earth, but raising up a spiritual house, the people of God, a temple made without hands. Already there in Jerusalem, 12-year-old Jesus is doing this. He is building this house. He gathers people to himself. He gathers them around his word and his teaching, his wisdom. He gathers them around his body, his physical saving presence. I say this on a Sunday when I am well aware that we can't all be together in the house of God. We can't all be sitting here at the feet of Jesus. We can't all be gathered here where Jesus is present in his body and blood. We are separated from one another by sickness and injury, by caution, and perhaps by fear. We long to be in the Lord's house, and this is good. But know this, even those who are stuck at home have his word. You aren't separated from him. So sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen to his questions. Be amazed at his answers. Marvel at God in human flesh. The prophet Malachi had said, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." And at 12 years of age, he came. He came to do the Father's work. This work would take him from that temple later to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup of suffering from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." It is the work that would take him then to the cross outside Jerusalem, from which he prayed, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And on the third day, Mary found him again, not dead, but alive. By his perfect life and his obedient suffering, by his glorious resurrection, Jesus makes a place for us also in the Father's house. This is the business on which his Father sent him. You might remember the words that Jesus said in John chapter 14. They are very memorable. "In my Father's house," he says, "are many rooms." Perhaps you're more familiar with the King James Version, which says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." I think that's a wonderful description. It makes us picture a house that is bigger on the inside than on the outside. There's more within and ahead. There is more room to grow and flourish. There is more life on the inside of that house, especially more life with the Father, more life with Jesus, our brother, and more life with the whole Christian family. Jesus is God's Son by nature. That is his house by nature, but he makes it ours by grace through faith. We too are God's sons. Jesus has wisdom in himself by nature. We are invited to ask for wisdom. We are invited to seek wisdom in him and through his word. And this is true wisdom, to repent of our sins and cling to his forgiveness. True wisdom is to let his word and his will have its way with us. Jesus does the Father's will perfectly. We pray that the Father's will would be done among us also, on earth as it is in heaven, and that he would break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. What Jesus has, he gives to us as well. And because Jesus has made us his Father's business, because he has given us an inheritance in the Father's house where there are many rooms and many mansions, his work is our work as well. Dear friends in Christ, you too are to be about the Father's business and to do the work of building his house, raising up a people for God in our church, in our own homes and families, and among our friends. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. See each other for what we are, not mere mortals who are dying, but sons of God who are created and redeemed to live forever. That's what you are, and that's what I am. So let us see one another and treat one another that way. And rejoice that Christ is with you in his word, and come as often as you can to his house, where he is present with his true body and his true blood. And now may our dear Father in heaven do for us, for our children and grandchildren, and for our brothers and sisters, and for all who are far off, what he did for Jesus. May he, by grace, make us increase in wisdom and in years and in favor with God and man. May he make this happen until we all attain to maturity as sons of God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we children are all grown up and are fully at home in the Father's house, perfectly doing his will, until in eternity we are like Jesus, the Father's Son. In his name, amen. the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, preserve your church and look with favor on her ministers. Bless them as they reflect on the mystery of your incarnation, that they may preach your word boldly and faithfully. In particular, bless Vicar Ed Schneefloke and Kathy, his wife, as he continues training for the ministry and serving here and at Christ Lutheran Church in Troy. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, your Son diligently heard the word of God and grew in wisdom and stature, submitting to his earthly parents and going about your business and being in your house. Keep the families of your church abiding in your word, eager to be found in the places where you have promised to be, and always treasuring your divine wisdom and favor. And be with all who are home and unable to be in your house today. Sustain them by your word and spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, uphold and strengthen our president, all public servants, and those who protect us in every good deed. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, give patience and endurance to all who are sick or in any need, especially Luann Trigo, Richard Heiskin, Nancy McTighe, Diane Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Anne Blaze, Jared Blaze, Carlene Breen, Gail Clayton, Pat Courtwright, Lisa Crawford, Matt DeBara, Lois Doskasil, Kay Emmerich, John Erickson, Bobby Joe Ewing, Karina Faw, and all who have the virus and are home, and heal them according to your will, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, be with all who are mourning the death of loved ones. We pray especially for Kate and Ed Schaefer, that you would grant them safe travel and comfort at her mother's funeral. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, your Son has won redemption through his blood, granting the forgiveness of our trespasses. So now, according to the riches of your grace, receive those who come to your blessed sacrament this day. Grant worthy repentance and confident faith to all who commune, united in a sincere confession of the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in mercy you have established the Christian home among us. Preserve in your care all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Kaylee Phelps and Stephanie Miller. We also implore you, rule and direct our hearts to be good examples to children and those subject to us, that we may not offend them by word or deed, but fruitfully teach them to love your church and hear your blessed word. Give them your spirit and grace, that this seed may bring forth good fruit and our home life may advance your glory, honor, and praise, as well as our own improvement and welfare, giving offense to no one. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, forever praising you and saying, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.